appointments for February 7th, 2008. We have four items on the agenda. Due to some scheduling conflicts, I'm going to take SCR 26 first. Here today we have Senator Courtney, the President of the Senate, Senator Winters, and I'm going to actually also ask for Doris Penwell to come up at the same time also. So, Senator Courtney, or first of all, a brief explanation from committee staff.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, SCR 26 expresses sympathy to the family of Audrey McCall.
Senator Courtney.
Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Rules Committee, I'm Peter Courtney, a state senator. I live at 2925 Islandview Drive here in Salem at 97303. I'm here in support of SCR 26, and of course joined by the good Senator Jackie Winters, who will speak in detail about this resolution and her feelings therein. November 15th, Oregon lost the legend, Audrey McCall. Passed away. She was an Oregon icon. She became a household name as the wife of one of the most famous of all Oregonians, of course, Governor Tom McCall. She was his wife, but she also perhaps was his closest advisor, confidant. After Tom McCall's death in 1983, Audrey McCall became a legend in her own right. She was Oregon personified. She was, in many ways, the conscience of her state. She never allowed us to forget all that she and her husband worked for, and we should never forget her. And I would like to thank you for allowing us to consider this resolution, this supplemental session, and like now, the good Senator Jackie Winters, who has a very close relationship with all the McCalls, to be allowed to speak about this Senator resolution.
Thank you very much, Senator Courtney. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. And my name is Senator Jackie Winters. I represent District 10 here in Salem, Monmouth, and Pendleton, and Onsville. For me, it's an honor and a real privilege to present to you the Senate Concurrence Resolution honoring Audrey McCall. The good Senator Courtney talked about the legend Tom McCall. You know, one doesn't become a legend by themselves, and those of us who work here know that our spouses assist us in our journey, and Audrey certainly was the strong supporter in assisting Governor McCall. And even though Mrs. McCall was little, tiny in stature, you know, those of us who know her knew that her strength was not only in keeping the family fires burning, but also she was strong in, when we talk about some of the policies that went on during the McCall years, It's going to be hard for me to talk about Audrey and Tom because they were very personal to the lives of Ted Winters and I. I was just sharing with Senator Courtney when we talked about when Ted and I got married in 1971, the McCalls were a part of the wedding. And when politically there were individuals who called the governor's office to complain about an interracial marriage couple on his staff. The governor's response to them, and I won't use the words that he used, but it was none of their business. Mm-hmm. And if you were part of the McCall years, you were part of both the social and environmental changes that occurred in this state. You were part of a family that was committed and devoted to change that brought about betterment, both from the social standpoint as well as the environmental standpoint. And Audrey was a part of that. I also need to share with you that Doris Penwell and I and Norma Paulus are working on doing a statue of Tom, Governor McCall, here in Salem. And when we first began the work on the statute, there were those who wanted the statute in Portland. And some of you may recall when we were in the House, one of our colleagues, in fact, was involved in that discussion. And it was Mrs. McCall who said no. Tom is the governor of the entire state and not just Portland. And just as she had influenced other policy decisions, she was influencing our policy decision. And so the statue will be erected here, here in Salem. Last summer, there was a public viewing of the Tomacall statue at the Caswell Studios. And she leaned over, and I don't know if you know about when you're building a maquette, and she said, the jaw, be sure that you get the jaw just right. I can't tell you how much this family means to me and how much being able to be a part of a passing Senate Concurrent Resolution 26. But we had a couple who were legendary in Oregon's history. And that legend continues to live on in the memories of not just my generation, but in future generations. You cannot talk about Oregon without talking about Tom, and you cannot talk about Tom without talking about Audrey.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Ms. Pinwell.
Thank you, Senator Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Doris Penwell, and I'm representing myself today. I'm from 529 Sneed Drive North in Kaiser. This is a personal thing to me today, honoring Audrey McCall, and I want to first of all say that I really appreciate Senators Winters and Courtney for introducing this. I know there are a lot of other people out there that would have done it if they hadn't, but I really appreciate this during this tight time frame we have here. The reason I'm here today is that I worked for Governor McCall for 8 years. I was his executive secretary for the last 4 years, so I had a pretty close relationship with both Tom and Audrey McCall. And anyone that works in a governor's office knows that you don't do anything, especially scheduling the governor, without knowing the governor's wife. So it was a very wonderful time. They were sort of the parents of the people that worked for them. And we were, the whole staff was very close, and we had a lot of fun. One of the things we loved a lot was working with the legislature. There was a rule from Tom McCall that said if any legislator called and wanted a meeting, they were to get in there that day, not later. And they did. And because he was not necessarily, as some people understand, not necessarily a very political individual per se. He wasn't really partisan, I guess. He was very political, not very partisan. And he wanted what he wanted, whether it was from a Democrat or a Republican, so he saw them all. And so that was one of the things that came from that. The other thing is that Audrey was very, I mean, really close to the governor, you know, her whole life. Her attitudes on issues were sometimes different than the governor's, but she got him to understand sort of the basic attitude from folks when it had to do with something that he was on the other side of. And it really helped making him sort of a centrist, moderate individual in a lot of ways. They were sort of eclectic, and they were on the right and the left and whatever, depending on what the issue was, social or environmental or whatever. But it made them real people, and Audrey had a lot to do with that. She entertained legislators frequently at their sort of makeshift governor's residence over on Winter Street, and she did all the cooking herself. She was a home economist, as you probably have heard over the years. And so she, for months before she would entertain legislators, would do all the cooking and freezing it. And then she didn't have caterers. She had somebody come in and set up a tent so that we could have the legislators come in and meet together. But and she'd have to divide the legislature 3 and 4 seatings because there just simply wasn't enough room. But it really made it sort of an informal gathering and a lot of fun. And people seem to be able to work quite well together. And I think all of that sort of goes together to make what Tom McCall and Audrey McCall were. Audrey, as I said, was just such a backbone to Tom McCall. And even, and she lived her whole life caring about the causes he cared about. After he died, she was really in the spotlight every once in a while supporting some cause that he would have cared about. But when she died, she asked that no public ceremony be held in her honor. So there were some very private things, and they had a very private burial ceremony out at Redmond. Her son, Tad, came from Virginia to be there, and he wants to see somebody that would remind you of Tom McCall. You need to see him. We expect to see him if this resolution gets to the Senate floor. We expect to see him at the ceremony, and it'll be surprising to all of you, and it's a lot of fun. So I want to thank you all for doing this today.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to stay there at the table, any comments or any questions from the committee members? I do know that everybody on the committee here has a great deal of respect for the late governor and for Audrey and the family. I do have two noted historians on the committee, Senator Avakian and Senator Atkinson, so I want to see if they in particular have any comments. So
anything I would say would absolutely pale in comparison to these three, so now's the time to not say anything. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anything else from the parties? None? Thank you all very much for coming. I will close the public hearing, and I will open a work session on SCR 26. Is there a motion to approve?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move SCR 26 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
It's been moved and to move SCR 26 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Hearing none. Motion passes. Could we please inquire with Senators Courtney and Winters of whether one of them would be the carrier or whether they would like to be joint carriers?
Sure.
I'm going to move on to the SB 1078. And Senator Metzger, if you'd like to come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, U.S. Senate Bill 1078, it directs the Parks Department to erect and maintain one or more monuments or other markers on the grounds of the State Capitol State Park to commemorate and honor Indian tribes. You have the Dash 1 Amendment, which directs the Parks Department to consult with the State Capitol Foundation in addition to the Commission on Indian Services about monuments on State Capitol State Park.
Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26, and I commend Senate Bill 1078 to you. As you know, we have discussed in this chamber, next year, of course, we'll be honoring the 150th anniversary of statehood. And I think it is appropriate that as we prepare for that 150th anniversary, that we recognize those native Oregonians to which our state has a tremendous heritage and tradition. I would like to tell you this was my original idea, and it really wasn't. I received this idea from the great work of Governor Schweitzer in Montana, who saw the same failure of that state to recognize the native Montanans and recognize it as we have done on the now new state park grounds of the state capitol, as we honor the history of our state, one of which we have failed to recognize are the original Oregonians. This bill will direct with the Dash 1 Amendment the foundation, which has done a tremendous job of maintaining the heritage of the state on the state capitol grounds, and the Indian Services Division and our nine federally recognized tribes to appropriately recognize their role in the creation of our state and the history that predates our statehood.
Any questions for Senator Metzger? Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Coming here this morning. I'm going to bring up three people, actually, all at the same time. Dave Wright from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Michael Mason from the Confederated Tribes Warm Springs, and Justin Martin from Grand Ronde. And Mr. Wright, if you'd like to begin.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dave Wright, the Assistant Director for Operations for the State Parks and Recreation Department. Thanks for the opportunity to comment on this bill. The State Capitol State Park, as you all know, came under our jurisdiction on January 1st of 2008, and as a result of the passage of Senate Bill 632 during last session, as we understand the bill, we would be working with the tribes and the Commission on Indian Services to develop a suitable monument within the Circle of Flags out on the Wilson Park section of the mall. We also understand the funding and maintenance of this is to come from private sources. So I guess the bottom line for us is if this bill is enacted, we'd be pleased to work with those parties and other parties who would be involved and develop a strategy and plan to get this a suitable monument erected. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions? Seeing none, Mr. Mason.
Well, thank you, Chair Devlin, members of the Rules and Executive Appointments Committee. Michael Mason, actually in Portland, but not of Portland, and representing the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon here today. The tribes do support Senate Bill 1078. As Senator Metzger said, it's important as we prepare for the sesquicentennial of Oregon statehood to recognize the tribes and to understand that if it were not for the agreements with the tribes, the treaties that are still in place, particularly with the Warm Springs and the Umatilla Confederations, statehood would not have occurred in 1859. So that's an important point. I think if you go back to the stories of people coming out on the Oregon Trail, there are innumerable stories about, you know, people's very survival depending on the Indian people that they met on the trail. The amount of salmon that was traded was critical to their survival. I want to just mention another reason that's important today. Warm Springs leaders were very, very surprised in 2004 when we did a poll on how many Oregonians even know that the Confederate Tribes of Warm Springs exist. It was only 25%. A third knew that Kaneda existed, but many of them didn't know that that had anything to do with it. They were in the middle of a reservation when they would go there. So, I think that number has improved somewhat, but still, it's only a minority of Oregonians who even know that tribes exist, and that's something that this Walk of the Nations, if you will, bill would help to remedy. So, we urge a yes vote, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Mr. Martin.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Martin, and I'm here on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, where I'm also a tribal member. I'm also very pleased to work with the Oregon Tribal Gaming Alliance, which represents all nine federally recognized Indian tribes here in Oregon. And finally, I'm very pleased to be up here with my colleague Michael Mason from Warm Springs, who just about 11 years ago to this day hired me to actually come to work for Grand Ronde and try to build a government relations program. We are here, obviously, in support of Senate Bill 1078. Oregon really has a unique place in this country in terms of leadership in state-tribal relations, and most all of you are responsible, sitting up there today, are responsible for that, that vision and that leadership. From the onset of the Commission on Indian Services through Governor Atiyah in the 70s, through the deletion of offensive language in Oregon geographic board names, to the creation of local mental health authorities on reservations throughout the state of Oregon that are accessible not only to tribal members but community members, through a native language teaching license, through stiffer penalties for illegally held archaeological objects, to the groundbreaking Senate Bill 770, which passed in 2001. You guys really have been at the forefront and should be commended in the work that you have done. This bill furthers that commitment, and we are very, very happy to be here working with the state when it comes to pieces of legislation like this. So again, we support passage of Senate Bill 1078 and thank all of you both for your vision and your leadership in state and tribal relations.
Any questions for the panelists? Seeing none, thank you all very much for coming. I will close the public hearing. I will open a work session on SB 1078. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, do we have an amendment?
Dash one.
Oh, we do have a dash one.
I would move the dash one amendment.
Okay. The dash one amendments have been moved. Are there any objections to the dash one amendments? Hearing none, motion passes. Is there a motion to move the bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, so moved.
It's been moved to move SB 1078 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. Senator Metzger will be carrying. Can you make your announcement? I need to talk to Senator.
Thank you. Colleagues, I just wanted to welcome. There are four Willamette Law School students in the room here participating, I think, as a part of a class requirement. I wanted to wish them well in their studies. And their names for the record, Jonathan Strahal, Meg Rowe, Lacey Lucas, and Ariel Blackthorne. And you all are first-year students, right? Okay. One of the things that Justin did not talk about is one of the reasons I think Oregon has gotten has been very progressive in terms of our government tribal relationships has been our Commission on Indian Services. And Karen Quigley is the Executive Director on the Commission on Indian Services, and they've been a key component in terms of moving Oregon forward. So another good connection, I think, in terms of the Capitol. So thank you, Karen, for your work, too.
This one, then we'll reopen the hearing on this for you.
Where do the law students hail from?
From Willamette University.
No, where are they?
Oh, where are they from? I don't know. All over. I know Meg is from Portland, so.
State
Portland. Portland? Where else? Where? Texas. And Jonathan, where are you from?
From Portland as well.
Portland.
Okay. Are they from Portland but not from Portland, like Michael Mason?
Well, I'm guessing the Texan is from Texas, so. And you're all first-year students, right? Okay. Well, good luck.
Okay. What I'm going to do here now is just a little bit of... Okay.
Sorry.
Senator Walker, could you come to the dais for just a moment real quick? I was calling you down. I've got a gentleman that has to leave. I was just going to hear him on one bill and then go right to you. Okay. Okay. I'm going to open a hearing on SJR 42. Committee Administrator, please give a brief explanation.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, SJR 42 designates March 31st of each year as Oregon Civilian Conservation Corps Day.
Okay. Mr. Snyder, will you come forward? And for the audience's information, what I'm going to do, Mr. Snyder has to leave very shortly, so I was going to go to him for this portion of the public hearing, close this public hearing, then go to the remaining bill item on the agenda, SJR 22, and then I will come back to 42 for the committee's open the public hearing again. Mr. Snyder.
I wish to thank the committee and the chairman for hearing my testimony today in favor of establishing a March 31 as a permanent memorial to the legacy left by the CCCs. My name is Daniel Snyder, and I live at 715 Ewald Avenue Southeast in Salem. I am Secretary Treasurer of Chapter 4 of the National Association of CCC Alumni. Our office is in Portland, but our membership extends across the state of Oregon. The initials CCC in our name stands for Civilian Conservation Corps. Perhaps that was the principal one of the many programs that President Franklin D. Roosevelt asked 1933 Congress to pass to enable our great nation to begin recovery from the Great Depression. The conservation envisioned by those great leaders encompassed not only our forests and parks, our rivers and farmland, but the youth of America, our human resources in this nation. In a matter of a few months after legislation authorized them, hundreds of CCC camps began to spring up all over the nation. These were composed of 200 enrollees between ages 17 to 25, unmarried and prohibited from owning a car. They were selected on the basis of family need by local social welfare organizations to serve 6 months enrollment periods in companies headed by a U.S. Army or military officer to provide food, shelter, clothing, medical, education, and recreation services. From 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday, the boys were turned over to USDA Forest Service or Parks or Soil Conservation for their work projects. Oregon had 51 camps between 1933 and 1941. We were paid $30 a month, and enrollees received $5 cash in camp each month, and a check for $25 was sent to his parents. I was enrolled just after turning age 17 in July 1936 at Camp Zigzag. On my trail crew, we saw Timberline Lodge under construction with the new hewn beams and supports glistening in the sun. Our company worked during those 9 years, stands today as a living legacy. The campgrounds, millions of replanted fir trees, miles of mountain roads and trails, including the main road up to Timberline Lodge, the ski bowl, and the first ski lift, were all built by CCC Company 928 Camp Zigzag. Our alumni organization developed a plan to raise funds for placing signs at the sites of former CCC camps in Oregon, and a number have been purchased and installed at such places as Camp Nehalem near Tillamook, Camp Zigzag, Mackenzie Bridge, Union Creek, Camp Sherman, Reedsport, and most recently at Silver Falls State Park. We cooperated with the Department of Forestry to purchase and install a 6-foot bronze statue of a CCC worker located at 2600 State Street here in Salem. And we have a plaque in tribute to the CCC in the Hall of Fame at the World Forestry Center in Portland. Oregon Chapter 4 of the National Association of Alumni has asked Senator Ted Farrioli to sponsor legislation to establish March 31, 2008, and every future year as a date to memorialize the Civilian Conservation Corps for its lasting impact on our landscape and the aura that together have conserved the natural and the human resources that make Oregon a special state in our nation. We hope that the legislation will pass, and I thank you for the opportunity to ask this of you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Snyder. Are there any questions?
I don't think so.
Yes.
I have been doing this for quite a while, as most of my colleagues up here have, and I want to applaud your... That was brilliant, and I hope that Senator Farrioli allows myself, and I'm sure Senator Vakian and the rest of us, to be on this bill. I'm absolutely thrilled. I was sitting up here as you were listing off names: Crater Lake Lodge, Mount Hood, Oregon Caves. In fact, a good friend of mine owns the CCC camp. I'd love for you to tell me what name it is in McMinnville.
Oh, in McMinnville.
Just south of the airport.
Yes. It slips me right now. This 88-year-old mind isn't as sharp as it could be.
Well, I think
I would.
Sir, I've been here, and all these people have, and I've never seen someone testify and get applauded. So I think you're plenty sharp. Thank you very much for coming.
Senator Lofman, did you?
Oh, you started when you were 17, you said. I'm curious how long you were you worked with the CCC, and I'm curious what your life was like when you were about 17 years old. What led you to do it?
Well, I come from a family of 12 people, and there were no jobs in our family in 1933 to 1936. I graduated from high school on June 10 of 1936. I turned 17 on June 28, and 16 days later, I was a CCC boy. And our family was in dire need, and the $25 that my mother received from my allotment home made the difference between being able to buy a 50-pound bag of flour and to buy pay the rent on a small berry farm. We were absolutely, when she knew that $25 check was coming, it made a wonderful difference in the life of this farm family.
Mm. Senator Farrell, if I could suggest, I don't know what the Oregon Historical Society has in its oral history banks regarding this effort, but if they don't have anything with regard to the CCC, then I suggest we hook them up with this gentleman immediately and do an oral history.
Yeah. We have done so.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, what? Okay. Why am I even at the dais?
I think we need to put him. I think you and I should go on a trail crew today. We got to do some work.
Well, Mr. Snyder, will you please remain there for a moment? And I'm going to go to Senator Farrioli. Who?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Ted Farrioli, District 30. As is so often the case with the America's greatest generation, as members of this generation have been called, we gather to honor them, and they, in fact, honor us. The legislation before you will be offered to every member of the Legislative Assembly to become co-sponsors. That was the intention, and it still is. Mr. Chairman, I don't have a word to add to the testimony. I don't think I could. But we have asked the Ms. Wyatt, the committee assistant, to make sure that this testimony is available by videotape, and we'll be making copies available to anybody that wants them. But a disc of this, I think, should be forwarded to the Oregon Historical Society, and along with your action. So I just urge the committee to take quick action, and thank you for your indulgence for bringing this forward.
Mr. Snyder, I know that you have to leave here shortly, but would you be able to come back if we were able to notify you a day or two before this is on the floor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would be happy to.
Okay. So to proceed here expeditiously, I'm going to close the public hearing. I'm going to open a work session. Do I have a motion on SJR 42?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move SJR 42 to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. I'd like to request a voice vote.
Okay. And that would be fine.
Call the roll, please, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Atkinson?
Aye.
Senator Bakken?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farrell?
Aye.
Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Motion passes. And Senator Farioli will carry. We are going to go on. Senator Walker is going to be next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7, and I just don't know how to follow Mr. Schneider. He was incredible. I know there's a couple of real historians on the dais, and I'm all about history in Oregon, and especially oral history, so I'm just so pleased that we had a chance to hear from him today. I want to talk to you about another great person in Oregon who unfortunately is no longer with us because she was mowed down in a crosswalk by a driver who had had his license suspended and wasn't paying attention. And that would be Lucy Lair. Lucy was a long time state employee with SEIU. You see the sea of purple behind me of all the people who loved and cared for Lucy. And she had gone to Sacred Heart Hospital with her partner, Susan Wehner, to visit Lucy's mother, who was in intensive care. And when they came out and were crossing the street, a pickup driver came along and killed Lucy and injured Susan. It was a great, great loss for Oregon, for the people that Lucy worked with. She was a tremendous spirit. She was a tremendous advocate for Oregonians of all stripes. She didn't hesitate to even stand up to a governor when she needed to do that. I know some people who do that. She was a champion for social justice and workers' rights, very active in her union and the Labor Council and numerous workforce and economic development committees. She also co-chaired the Eugene Springfield Solidarity Network for many years and worked to provide fairness in the workplace for workers in Eugene and Lane County. She, in her private life, adored animals, gardening, and community sports, and I don't think there was an animal that Lucy ever turned away. I've known Lucy for many years. I can't count them. This is a picture of her from what they distributed at her memorial service. There were about 500 or more people at her memorial service, and as I sat in the balcony and listened to all the wonderful things that were being said about Lucy, I was thinking, what could I do to contribute to what was being said about this great woman? And so I brought before you SCR 22 to honor her memory, and you'll have some friends of hers who will speak about that. And then I also want to tell you that the governor, Governor Kulongoski, has agreed to issue a proclamation honoring Lucy also, and he's been waiting for me to get the language to him, and I was finally crafting it last night. Well, I guess it would be this morning, 1:30 a.m. I emailed it to my office. And so you'll be seeing that proclamation sometime very soon, and he will proclaim her birthday as Workers' Rights Social Justice Day, because one of the things that her friends and family ask that we do is every year on Lucy's birthday, which is August 23rd, is that you take an hour of your day and get back to your community. Just an hour. That's all. If you want to do more, that'd be great. But that was Lucy, and it's a sad, sad moment that we have lost Lucy and her spirit. But we have it in our hearts. We have it in the buttons that people wear, and we have it in the work that others carry out. So I'm going to step down and let some folks who worked with Lucy talk to you about her wonderful spirit.
Okay. Any questions for Senator Walker? Seeing them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring up the whole panel. It looks like Barbara Kellogg, Catherine Stearns, and is it Bob Bussell?
Yes.
Bussell. And please identify yourself and proceed whenever you, in whichever order you decide. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, I'm Barbara Kellogg, and I'm going to start as soon as I put these papers back in some kind of order.
First, I would like to thank Senator Vicky Walker for introducing this resolution. And I would like to thank the Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee for your consideration. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today to speak in memory of Lucy. My name is Barbara Kellogg, and I'm here on behalf of SEIU, Local 503, and our 44,000 members in Oregon. Lucy was a leader in our local for many years, and she was unique. She was warm, bright, funny, vibrant, and kind. She truly enjoyed people and cared about their lives. She loved to laugh and was fond of really silly jokes and bad puns. And she was multifaceted. She was a bridge builder who believed in the power of communication and collaboration. She sought to solve problems and not assign blame. But she was also a savvy strategist who understood power dynamics and the necessity for collective action. She never hesitated to put her body on the line in the fight for justice. And she always, always spoke truth to power, without exception. It didn't matter if you were her boss, if you were the head of her union, or if you were the governor of the state of Oregon. If Lucy thought you were wrong, she let you know about it. And somehow she managed to work full-time, be active in her community, and rescue stray dogs, play softball and volleyball, maintain close personal relationships, and nourish a committed relationship with her life partner, Susan Wariner. I never figured out how she did it. I first met Lucy during the 1996 ballot initiative campaign to increase Oregon's minimum wage. We were standing outside of the M's game collecting signatures, and as I listened to her explain why this initiative was crucial, I was deeply moved by her passion to improve the lives of low-wage workers and the fact that she got twice as many signatures as I did. She later shared her experiences on the job with Adult and Family Services and her daily struggle to help Oregon's families overcome the curse of poverty. There have been a lot of petitions, picket lines, rallies, and marches since then. Lucy stood up for striking workers, living wages, adequate funding for public services, universal health care, and human rights. She was a leader in the Lane County Labor Council and the Eugene Springfield Solidarity Network as well. I miss her very much. I believe she represents the best in our local and the best in state service. But she was not alone. If she were here today, she would talk about the commitment and passion of her coworkers in DHS who fight for economic justice and human dignity every day as they struggle to preserve the safety net for thousands of Oregon's most vulnerable citizens. To recognize Lucy is to honor their contribution as well. Thank you again for your consideration of this resolution.
Thank you.
My name is Catherine Stearns. I'm from Corvallis. I thank the Senate Rules and Executive Appointments Committee for your consideration of this resolution. And I'm here on behalf of Lucy Lahr's life partner, Susan Wariner, a family of friends, and myself. I was a co-worker, union sister, and close friend of Lucy's. If you think you're too small to make a difference, you've never been in a room with a mosquito. That's a Chinese proverb. Lucy didn't stand much over 5 feet tall, but she had a mosquito's nagging persistence to prod the rest of us to take action. The most resistant of do-gooders had a difficult time maintaining a negative response when Lucy would solicit their talents and skills for an important cause. I know this firsthand. Lucy was great at recruiting folks to help in many worthwhile causes. She may not have been unique in that attribute, but she was outstanding at it. At her job in Department of Human Services, Lucy used that talent to recruit her clients to their own best cause, their children. She conveyed, "You can do this," attitude to countless parents suffering from poverty and many barriers. Lucy inspired hope, gave clients concrete steps to walk, and then celebrated their successes with them. Lucy maintained a focus on many social issues that continue to plague us: poverty, human rights, health care, worker rights, animal rights, and protecting the treasures of Oregon's environment. Lucy believed in everyone's inalienable right to seek prosperity in this land of plenty and fairness in our democracy. She knew that bringing attention to what matters can make a difference. There are many ways to honor special people, but Lucy would not want a monument or a halo, though hundreds of us believe she's deserving of both. Honoring Lucy Lahr with this resolution would bring comfort to her life partner, Susan Wehner, and Lucy's family and family of friends. Please pass this resolution out of committee for a vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bussell.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, my name is Bob Bussell. I'm an associate professor of history at the University of Oregon and director of the university's Labor Education and Research Center. It is my distinct honor and privilege to speak in favor of Senate Concurrent Resolution 22 that recognizes the exemplary life of Lucy Lahr. I had the pleasure of working with Lucy on the steering committee of the Eugene Springfield Solidarity Network, a grassroots labor and community alliance in Lane County for the past 5 years. She was a great friend and a valued colleague. Lucy was a latter-day Tom Joad, a living embodiment of John Steinbeck's memorable character in the classic novel The Grapes of Wrath. Wherever there was injustice, unfairness, or inequality, Lucy put herself on the line to speak truth to power and attempt to right wrongs. Her activism assumed many forms: public servant, union leader, engaged citizen, and human rights advocate. As a career social worker at the Department of Human Services, she spent over 2 decades working to improve the quality of life for children and families. In her union, SEIU Local 503, she insisted on fair treatment and respect for her fellow workers, who often toiled under difficult circumstances while doing vital work. And in her community of Eugene, she became quite knowledgeable about workforce development issues and served capably as a representative for workers' interest on the local workforce development board. In 45 years, and in a life that ended tragically all too soon, Lucy leaves behind a proud record of good works and tangible achievements. But even more importantly, she was a model of engaged citizenship and thoughtful activism. She knew how to make principled compromises, never succumbed to sanctimony or self-righteousness, and refused to denigrate her political opponents or fellow activists. Her rare combination of personal goodness and political savvy is all too lacking in our often polarized public discourse, and these skills will certainly be missed within the many communities whose causes she championed so effectively. Memory is an indispensable tool for coping with loss. Passing this resolution would not only be a fitting tribute to Lucy Lahr, but also a means of honoring the causes and commitments that guided her throughout her life. I urge you to act favorably on this resolution, recognizing the extraordinary life of an extraordinary Oregonian. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none. Anyone else wishing to testify? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to put on the record I received a couple of, I believe, constituent phone calls in support of this resolution. Janine Melito worked with Lucy at Jobs with Justice, and she, of course, supports the resolution, and also received a phone call from John Evans supporting the resolution. He served with Lucy on the Jobs with Justice Steering Committee, so I would like to add those to the record, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, and I will close the public hearing. And I will open a work session. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move SCR 22 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. SCR 22 has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. Senator Walker will carry. That completes our business for this morning. We will be back in at 1 o'clock for executive appointments, and we may actually be as expeditious then also, and we might get out even a little early. So okay. I'll see you all at 1.